Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, indeed, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. What a wonderful time we had this morning in the ordination council as we ordained Ron and Daniel to be a part of this council and the men who shared. Thank you, Father, for this time. And now, Father, as we enter into this time of worship where our pastor opens the word to us, I would just pray that you would empower him to preach your word with authority. Father, that we might be changed as a people. Help us to receive the word as it's preached today. Let it sink into our hearts and our minds so that we may apply it in our lives beginning this very week. And we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Mike is our new chairman of deacons this year. And he and Don will be serving together. Thank God for him. And this morning, I just wanted to, our theme for the year is an open door in 24. And God's going to open all kinds of doors of opportunity for us this year. How many of you believe that? An open door in 24. And so this morning, I wanted to talk about an open door of opportunity in the way of leadership. Leadership is so, so important. How many of you understand this truth? Everything rises and falls with leadership. Everything rises and falls with leadership. And you may not have come looking forward to a sermon on deacons and pastors, but you need to have an understanding. What does God's Word say about leadership in the church? And the two offices that the Scriptures talk about is the office of pastor and the office of deacon. And now, you can get some other words in there like elders and overseers and all those. But all of those words are used interchangeably for pastor. And then there's the office of deacon. And that's what I want us to look at this morning, if we can, for a few minutes. And I don't know if you know or not, how many of you have had a deacon and or a deacon's wife be a blessing to you and influenced you and that kind of thing? Amen. It's important. And so we're going to look at the difference that a deacon can make and his wife. We're looking at the issue of leadership this morning. Now, if you are have a Bible, I'm going to be in Acts chapter 6. This is my favorite story of deacon ministry in the Bible. These are the characteristics of deacons. And over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have the qualifications for deacons. And we've already established that with the men that will be serving here. But if you have a Bible or you've got some kind of other app, a Bible app on your phone, we're going to be in Acts chapter 6. And let's stand as we read these verses in honor of God's Word. Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint. How many of you know a growing church has problems? If you're not growing, there aren't a lot of problems. Devil doesn't have to do anything. A complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And may God add his blessing to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of his holy word. Please be seated. The early church was blowing and growing in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. You have that story, and they've got great unity, they've got great power, and their testimony began to sweep across the city of Jerusalem and in the surrounding region. Hundreds were coming to Christ by faith, and persecution from the Jewish authorities had begun, and opposition from the Romans had begun as well. And so how many of you know Satan is upset when the church is rolling? You've upset the apple cart in hell whenever your church is getting some things done for Jesus. And so, and the believers in the early church, they loved one another. I mean, they really supported one another. They expressed the sharing of material goods and had a profound impact there in the community. They met together in specific places, in specific times. They shared meals together. As I said, money and goods were collected by the apostles and distributed to those that were in need in the church. Sin was dealt with immediately. The church was impacting the culture. The church was full of salt and light. You know, and Acts 5:13 even says, even the lost community that they lived in held the church in high regard. Whoo, glory. But as I mentioned, Satan was unhappy, and he had tried to bring trouble to the church from the outside. And when that didn't slow him down, you remember he'd had some apostles arrested? Who do you think's behind that? The evil one. And so he brought opposition from the outside, and that hadn't worked. And so now he's trying to disrupt things inside the church. He brings opposition. And this tactic was successful in some ways. And the division and disruption threatened the very existence of the church. And so that's what we're looking at now. And it is through the problem that arisen, and I'll talk more about that in just a minute, but it's through issues and needs and problems that the church has that deacon ministry comes alongside and brings unity and peace and harmony. And I'll prove that to you from the scriptures here in just a moment. But the first thing that deacon leadership and deacon ministry does is it bestows peace among the body. It bestows peace. And as I mentioned a minute ago, growth always brings change. And when a church is growing, needs arise. I mean, problems come up. And in order for those needs to be met, something has to change. How many of y'all just love and jump up and down when we change things? One. Okay. Change is uncomfortable. Most of us don't like change. But in order to get things done, sometimes you've got to make some changes. Can I get a wealthy amen? And so the New Testament church was no different. It was no longer a matter of addition. Their church was multiplying. Over there in Acts chapter 1, you see what the church had about 120 disciples, 120 followers. And then when Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost preached, how many were saved that day? 3,000, and they had 3,000 folks baptized that same day. And then Acts chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that that there were 5,000 men just a few days later that were in the church. And so by any stretch of the imagination, the church in Jerusalem now had close to probably, including women and children, close to 20,000 people. And so it is in this setting that Satan tried his best to stop the church in her tracks by discord and division. And so just meeting the spiritual needs of 20,000 people. was a challenge, not to mention the physical needs of so many. And so the apostles couldn't handle everything. And let me just tell you, your pastor can't handle everything. Needs help. And so this grievance, this complaint that arose, threatened the harmony and the unity of the church there in verse 2. And so very, very, very wonderfully, the apostles recognized the need. You know what? We need to stay with what God's called us to do. And look at bringing some more folks that can take care of these other needs. Because it's not desirable for us to leave what God's called us to do and do what... And so up until now, the apostles were the ones who were taking care... You know, the church was full of widows and orphans and poor people and needy people. And so the church was responsible for taking care of these folks. There were no government programs. There wasn't any Medicare in Jerusalem. And so the church started to meet those needs. And so when somebody had a need, a wealthy man like Barnabas would sell some property and bring the proceeds into the church. And every day they fed and clothed and in some cases housed all of the folks who needed help. That's a tremendous need being met. But the apostles had gotten so covered up with doing all of that, they couldn't focus on what God had called them to do, and I'll talk more about that in just a minute. But you've got two groups of Jewish folks in the church now. You've got these conservative Jewish people who had grew up in and around Jerusalem, and they were very traditional. They believed in all the, you know, the rituals and the and they were the Hebrew speaking, the Aramaic speaking Jewish folks. And then you had another large group in the church, and these were outside. These were what we might call moderate believers. They had been heavily influenced by the Greek culture of their day. They spoke the Greek language, and probably most of them spoke Hebrew as well. But you got these two groups, and so every day the apostles would take care of this huge table of foods and goods and things for the folks in the church that needed them. And they had gotten just covered up and snowed under with all of that. And so they said, you know what? It is time for us to make a change. And that change would involve bringing some men on board to take care of the daily distribution. I want y'all to look at these words. You see that word distribution there in verse 1? You know what that word is? Diaconia. And that word means service and ministry. And then jump down to verse 2. And you see that word, it says serve tables. The word serve is diakonine, which means service or ministry. And then down there in verse 4, the ministry of the word, that's the word that we use for deacon. So three times you're talking about deacon leadership. Now they probably weren't called deacons. They were called servants or ministers, that kind of thing. And so the apostles very wisely said the church needed to look out and bring some folks on board to help take care of this need. How wonderfully spiritual that was. And by the way, that's what deacon ministry does. It provides harmony and unity in the body. Can I just be real sweetfully honest with y'all? Amen. There are problems that come up in the church. Hello? You may be sitting here this morning and you got a problem. Well, instead of running and telling 14 other people, why don't you go to one of our deacons or their wives or maybe even to the person that you've got the problem with? Oh, it always gets quiet when God starts speaking. And so you've got these men coming on board and so, you know, I don't have time to get into everything I want to say this morning, but I want to say this. The squabble, the problem, the complaint over the Hellenistic widows getting overlooked by the Hebraic speaking leaders. That stuff was taken care of. And guess who took care of it? The deacon ministry. And it brought the church together. It provided harmony. It provided unity. And I'll tell you what, Jesus wants us to be one, even as He and the Father are one. And so that's what deacon ministry does. It helps provide unity and harmony in the church. Deacon ministry was born out of a problem. And so can I just quickly tell you, did a funeral Friday. I don't know how much longer I've got. Now, I don't want to stress anybody out, but I could die tomorrow. And so you guys need to know, what are the responsibilities for a pastor? What is pastoral leadership supposed to be about? Are y'all ready for this? Here's my job description. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're applying the apostles' responsibilities to the pastoral responsibilities. Y'all understand that here? I'm not an apostle. The apostles are gone. They all died in the first century. Those New Testament apostles. Now, watch this. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He Himself, now who's He talking about? Who is He? That's the Lord. He Himself gave some, this is the New Testament gift to the church. The Holy Spirit gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Those guys are the New Testament gift to the church. You do know that your pastor is the gift to this church. I've told y'all many times, y'all think I'm the booby prize, and maybe I am. But God wraps His gifts in unusual wrapping. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, look at verse 12. Watch this. Why did He give these men to the church? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edification, for the edifying of the body of Christ. My primary responsibility in leading and feeding the flock is to equip the saints to serve, to do the work of the ministry. That's what my primary responsibility is. And I do that through two avenues, through the prayer ministry and the preaching ministry. And I'll make that a little bit more clear here in just a moment. But that's what the pastor is supposed to do, equip the saints to serve. Well, that's what we pay you to do, preacher. I hear that all the time. When it really works, and it's working here, man, the lay people in the church pick up the ministry and roll with it. I wished I had time to just go around the room this morning and tell you all how many people are serving and doing the ministry of the local church. And if you hadn't got a ministry here in and through this church, would you see me after church, after worship? I'll give you four or five places you can serve. Amen? It's about ministry. It's about equipping the saints to serve. So that's what I'm supposed to do as a minister. And so let's jump down to verses 3, 4, and 5. Deacon leadership bestows peace. Deacon leadership, if you're following the outline, benefits priorities. Verses 3 through 5. If you're there, say amen. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this, what business? The daily distribution, serving tables, taking care of the needs of the flock. But we, the apostles, will give ourselves continually to, now, the English language doesn't have it in here, but you've got a direct object. They call it a definite article, the prayer. And the word means the ministry of prayer. I always thought that my responsibilities came through my time in the prayer closet. And yeah, my private prayer life has to be good. But my primary responsibility with prayer is to mobilize the people of God to pray. We're talking about prayer meetings. Hello? And I was in a prayer conference this weekend, and I'm so full of what he had to say. Poor old Greg Lee was sitting beside me, and this cat was, the speaker, was saying everything that I've been saying for years. And sometimes it's good to hear somebody else confirm what you've already been saying. And so Greg's sitting there, and I said, "Have you heard that before? Have you heard that, Greg? You remember that? Yeah. And so my part of what I'm supposed to be doing in equipping the saints to serve is to mobilize people for prayer. There's only two or maybe three instances in the book of Acts about individual prayer, people praying in their prayer closet. All the others are public prayer meetings. This is where, y'all have heard me say this before, this is where we've missed the boat as the Baptist church. Prayer meetings. It's where the power of the church. The New Testament church didn't have all this. They didn't have all this. They didn't have this. But I tell you what the New Testament church did have. They had prayer and they had the Spirit of the living God. And the more times we meet together for prayer, that's a good thing. And yet it's like pulling teeth. Can I just be honest with you? It's like pulling teeth to get people together to pray. If I told Greg Lee to bring in one of those cows that he grills out here, we'd have hundreds of folks show up. But you call for a prayer. Well, you understand what I'm saying? And that's my fault. I haven't done a good job of pulling people together for public prayer. That's where the power is. That's where it is. And so my primary responsibility there, it says it again here, is to give ourselves continually to the prayer and the ministry of the Word. You're talking about two different ministries, the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the Word. And if I'm not doing that, folks aren't getting equipped to serve. Y'all with me? All right. So pastors are to lead and feed the flock. The word rule shows up for pastors quite often through the New Testament. It's mentioned several times in Hebrews 13. And the word rule means to lead. And every time that word rule, the word lead is used, it's used for pastors. And so deacons don't rule the church. They don't lead the church. They don't feed the church. Now we got some deacons who can teach the Word of God. But pastors, by and large, lead and feed. So what is the deacon responsibility? What are they supposed to be doing? They serve the flock. They serve the flock. When a need comes up, boom, a deacon and his wife is on top of that need. When a problem arises, a deacon is right there. And so watch this. The church was to look out from among them for seven men. And in other words, we always ought to be building up and raising up new leadership. We got to be growing new leaders. We got to be training new leaders. We got to be calling out for new leadership. We got to have a pipeline of leaders. Because if us old folks die off, guess what? You got to have young leadership step up. And so that's what's going on here. And so he says, pick out from among you. And by the way, the church did so well here. And these men were to be believers. I think all your pastors ought to be believers. I think all of our deacons ought to be saved. Hello? Sometimes that doesn't happen. I've had to baptize some deacons in my ministry. I've even baptized some staff people, some pastors. The devil's a slick. He can sell you a bill of goods. Don't need to get off chasing that rabbit this morning, but I want you to watch this. Deacons serve the flock. And how do they do that? Well, first of all, with a good reputation. with a good reputation. They were living a life of, these men were living a life of integrity. They were living their lives. They weren't perfect. They weren't blameless, but they were full of integrity. They had a good reputation. They were living their lives above reproach. Their character was unblemished. You could trust these guys. Character was a top priority. And then secondly, they were full of the Holy Spirit. These men were controlled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Well, how do you know if somebody's full of the Holy Spirit? Duh. They just got God all over them. You know. You don't have to guess if somebody's full of the Holy Spirit. Hello? And by the way, you ladies, I'm so thankful we got some women here who are full of the Holy Spirit. If you're sitting beside a lady, say, are you full yet? You ought to see some of the looks on the faces of these spouses. These men had the power. They were full of the Holy Spirit. They were yielded to His leadership and direction. They submitted to the Spirit of God. They surrendered to the Spirit of God. They allowed the Spirit of... Y'all do know God has a better plan for my life than I do. Amen. And I submit to Him and His leadership. And when I do that, things work out a whole lot better. Amen? All right. So they were full of the Holy Spirit, but they were also full of wisdom. Why would they need to be full of wisdom? Well, if the deacon body is going to be taking care of the needs of the church, physical needs, social needs, relational needs, spiritual needs, don't you think that they need to be full of wisdom? There's going to be things come up in deacon ministry, and deacon leadership can take care of things if they're full of wisdom. And by the way, if you're full of the Holy Spirit and you ask God for wisdom, guess what He'll do? He'll give it to you. Glory to His name. And so, deacons are known for being morally clean and spiritually close to the Lord. And by the way, look at all these names down there in verse 5. You see all those names? Philip, Prochorus, Stephen, Nicanor, Timon. Those are all Greek-speaking names. See how wise the church was? The Hellenistic crowd, they were the ones, our widows are being overlooked. And the church was so wise, they picked 7 men that were Hellenists, that were influenced by the Greek, culture and that kind of thing. And so, you know, this blesses me. The church had finally gotten to the point, and maybe they were there from the beginning. I don't know. I wasn't there. But they said basically, hey, this ain't about me. It's not about I and what I want. Can I just say something really loving to you that's really truthful? It's not what can the church do for me. It's what can I do for the church. Seems like one of our presidents said something like that a few years ago. And so, brothers and sisters, when needs come up, it's not about me. It's about Him and them. And by the way, our community is looking at us. They're watching us. They've got our eyes on us. They want to know if what we've got's real. Huh? Hallelujah. So deacon leadership benefits the priorities of those deacon leaders and pastoral leaders. And then finally, in closing, I've got to hurry. Deacon leadership brings purpose. Look again at verse 6. When they had set before the apostles and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. That sounds like a prayer meeting. Every time you roll through the book of Acts, you see these prayer meetings. People praying. Wasn't that a special time as we prayed over these brothers and sisters this morning? Brother, sister, prayer is the key to where we've got to get. We've got to become a praying church. If we're going to see Clarksville come to Jesus, and by the way, that's why Diana and I moved back home. That's what God told me He was wanting to do. I'd give you the scriptures that He gave to me. But if we're ever going to come to Jesus in this community, man, we got to pray. And in the New Testament church, the prayer service was just as important as the preaching service. Read your book. Read the book of Acts and see what those people are doing. Yeah, they're preaching. The apostles' doctrine, they're teaching. But also every time they're together, they're praying together. And you see that war room back there? That's our prayer room. I want to challenge you, some of you, get in the war room. Some of you never even been in there. There's a tremendous amount of prayer needs in our church. And you can roll through those. Pray, 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 pray. And when we get this right, when the ministry of prayer begins to really grab hold, the mission of the church gets accomplished. What's the mission of Second Mile Church? What's the mission of our church? What's the mission statement? Thank you. Reach people for Christ and teach people to follow Christ. Where'd we get that? Right from the Word of God. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. We're to make disciples. That's what we're here to do. We're to make disciples. That's our purpose. And deacon ministry helps us to fulfill that purpose. And look at verse 7. Look what happened. Then the word of God spread. It spread. Goes forth in power. The gospel goes forth. And the number of the disciples, what? Multiplied greatly. Disciples multiplied greatly. Is that disciple making? Yes. Is that teaching people to follow Jesus? Yes. And then look what happens in the latter part of that verse. The disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests, the Jewish priests, were obedient to the faith. The church grows exponentially. Wouldn't you like to see the gospel go forth in power in 2024? Wouldn't you like to see us making disciples like never before? Wouldn't you like to see the church grow exponentially? Well, I'm going to tell you, it'll happen when the pastoral ministry and the deacon ministry get together and goes hand in hand. And they're about the ministry of prayer and preaching. That's it. Pretty simple. So I don't know where you fit in along those lines. But I want to tell you, if you belong to Jesus, you're one of His followers. And He's calling. There's a door of opportunity here. We're going to continue to build up and to grow leadership in this church. And maybe some of you, you know what? Mike Rainey and I were serving at First Baptist Clarksville. We were both teaching, I think, in the college department. I was showing up for visitation. We go out and knock on doors. And I was doing some other things. So was Mike. And we were singing. Mike, can you believe we used to sing in the choir together? I can't believe they didn't run us off. But we were already doing what deacons are supposed to do. And so you don't have to have the title of deacon. Just start, what was it Hubert Griffey said? Somebody mentioned it. Yeah, keep on deacon. Some of y'all will get that here next year. But you don't have to have titles to serve God. Amen. You just plug in wherever you at. I want to tell you, I was already here, but I had to go back out to my truck for something. And there's two sweet servants, Ross and Mike, out there in that 15-degree weather serving the Lord. See, you don't have to have some title. Just jump in and start doing a part of the ministry. And God will be glorified. The saints will be edified. And Satan will be horrified. Father, thank you for this word from the Word. I know it's been a different type of message, different type of sermon. But God, we need to understand just exactly what church leadership is and what it's all about. And so, God, I pray you'd continue to raise up leaders in this church. men and women, boys and girls, who will help us accomplish the mission of the church. Everything rises and falls with leadership. And so, God, continue to help us grow leaders through prayer, through preaching, through mentoring people. Oh, God, we so desperately need your help. I want to pray, Lord, for, I don't know, there may be some folks in here today who are not believers. And the Word of God says that if we will come to you your way, that you'll receive us and bless us and forgive us and move us down the road in the plan that you have for our lives. And that just comes, Father, we understand what the Word says. It comes through repentance, being so sick and sorry for our sin that we trust Jesus Christ with everything that we've got as our only means of salvation. And if we'll just call on you to do that, your Word says that you will receive us and we can be saved, born again. I believe many here in this church house today are born again. Some are not. So I pray today would be the day of salvation. And I pray today would be the day of maturation, that many would get on board and help us accomplish the mission of the church by whatever means necessary. Oh, do what only you can do, Father. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you need to come to an altar for prayer or you need salvation, we'd love to counsel with you. We'd love to speak with you, pray over you. Whatever God's leading you to do, you just come on. We're waiting on you. Man, you come. Andrew's going to lead us in a song. Y'all, I'll stand. We'll sing. This is your time of response, your time of invitation.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.